Suspicious Minds. That was Elvis Presley on your radio, friend. 16 minutes before 11 o'clock on a hump day morning. This is Glenn Klein in the studio. Elvis's lead guitarist, Scotty Moore, passing away yesterday at the age of 84. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Scotty Moore, dead at the age of 84. I can never hear Suspicious Minds without thinking about our friends Cody and Megan's wedding. And you say, why is that, Glenn Klein? I will tell you why. Because they had a beautiful ceremony in Rice Lake at a country club overlooking the golf course. It was gorgeous. And then the minister says, for the first time ever, I am proud to announce Mr. and Mrs. Cody and Megan Wickersham. And the newlyweds turned around, and here came Suspicious Minds playing over the public address. I'm stuck in a trap, and I can't get out. That bode well for their marriage. They're still together, I'm happy to report. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein. It is time to get over the hump with author, coach, speaker, entrepreneur, all-around good guy, Rick Jones. He wrote the book Analog Advice in a Digital World of Baby Boomers, Words of Wisdom for the Millennial Generation. Let us get over the hump now with Mr. Rick Jones. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning, Glenn.
How are you?
I'm terrific. Today is my 31st wedding anniversary.
It is.
I don't think we need to play Suspicious Minds. Maybe we need to play Lyle Lovett's She's No Lady, She's Your Wife.
Well,
I've been extremely happily married for 31 years. I obviously outkicked my coverage. Way overchicked and way happy about it.
You're way overchicked.
I'm way overchicked.
Well, you definitely married up. That we know for
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely.
What is the key? All right, 31 years.
31 years.
What is the key to marital bliss, Mr. Jones?
I think you got to laugh a whole lot. I think she's my best friend. And I think you got to have great sex. I think those are the three.
Hello? We're on the air, Rick. No, I'll tell you, Dawn and I were together for the better part of 30 years. And there is no doubt our love life kept us together for as long as we did. And it's critical. Do you know that the average married couple that's been married 10 years or more has sex, on average, 4 times a year?
Wow.
Isn't that an incredible, which means most couples are not having any sex at all.
Yeah.
At least not with each other.
Start skewing the averages. It's pretty crazy. So, hey, I just realized, you know, Suspicious Minds was Elvis's last number one hit. It was the last one. So, with Scotty passing, it's kind of that whole generation's about gone. It's interesting.
It is interesting. It's a little bit sad, but yeah. It's just, you know, it comes with the territory.
Well, for us, it's been a really interesting week. You know, I was very, very close to Pat Summitt. She was such a great coach and a great human being, and her passing this week, I think, touched a lot of people. And then, you know, you saw Buddy Ryan pass this week, too. So we're all of that age where every time we pick up the newspaper, we see somebody that's kind of close to us or somebody we thought we know moving on to the next place.
What was the key to Pat Summitt's success?
Just great passion. You know, just amazing passion for the game, passion for people, passion for communication. She was one of these people that saw greatness in others maybe more than they saw it in themselves, and then was able to extract that greatness out of them. You know, she started that program from scratch. I think Phil Fulmer, former football coach at Tennessee, said the first game that she coached at Tennessee, there were 53 people there. Well, now the Lady Vols sell out every game in a big arena. So she just had a great passion for lots of things. She was a great friend, too. I mean, she was, you talk to people that were really close to her, they'll tell you, you know, not only was she a great coach. He was just such a great friend.
Well, he's our great friend. He's Rick Jones. We get over the hump with him each week at this time. He wrote the book Analog Advice in the Digital World, A Baby Boomer's Words of Wisdom for the Millennial Generation. We're going to be getting into our chapter today momentarily. But I'm fascinated by Pat Summitt because you talk about a revolutionary and a groundbreaker. She seemed like a really tough lady, at least in her public persona. Did she have much of a sense of humor?
She had a great sense of humor. I mean, she really did. I mean, she had a very dry wit and a lot of sarcasm, but that she had that what I call that kind of Eastern Tennessee, Scotch Irish background. A sense of humor that tends to be very, 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 very dry. Her father moved them to a different school district so she could play girls basketball. The school district that they were in at the time did not have any women's sports at the high school level, and so he moved. That's how much he thought of her and her talents, and so he made that happen. She went to Tennessee Martin and was a great player there and played on the Olympic team and then ultimately started this program at Tennessee from scratch. Not many people coach, one place for their entire career, and yet she did that.
Well, she was Tennessee through and through. I heard a story in the wake of her passing that she was in labor, and she made sure that she was on the road, though.
And she said, "We're not having this baby in Virginia. You land this plane in Tennessee." That's exactly right. At that time, Virginia was a big rival. They had a really good program, and she was just adamant, "My child is not going to be born in Virginia. Get this plane to Tennessee."
How well do you think she would have done coaching men?
Oh, I think she would have been outstanding coaching men. I just think she would have been outstanding coaching any sport and any gender. Passionate, great communicator, great learner, great discipline. I think she had all the great attributes that any coach would have. Roy Williams said yesterday that if there was a Mount Rushmore for coaches, that she would be right up there with all of them. So that was high praise from a men's coach who said, hey, she would have been as successful no matter who or where she coached.
Who would be, let's just limit it to basketball, who would be on Rick Jones's Mount Rushmore for basketball coaches?
Oh, wow. Well, John Wooden, clearly. For me, Mike Krzyzewski would be. Red Auerbach. Would be a guy that would be there. Phil Jackson, clearly would be on there. What Bill Self has done at Kansas is just, freaking amazing. I mean, he's won 11 consecutive Big 12 championships in a great basketball league. I mean, with great teams, for one school to win that many championships in that league in a row is pretty amazing.
We're limited to four, of course, because that's the four presidents, yeah. but you'd have to strongly consider Bobby Knight up there too, I would
yeah,
think.
I think I've always been a big, and you see in my book, I quote Coach Knight a lot. Again, he would be absolutely one that I would have up there. People forget how innovative Bob was with the game.
And they also forget how many athletes graduated. And his players loved him. You can always tell something about a coach by what their players feel about that particular head coach. My brother Steve is an outstanding basketball coach in North Carolina in high school. His players love him. Buddy Ryan, you mentioned, just passed away. The Bears defense, when George Halas hired Mike Ditka to come and be the head coach, the Bears defensive squad went to George Halas and said, "Mr. Halas, please don't fire Buddy Ryan. He is not the problem. The offense is the problem."
Well, it's interesting, if you remember, when they won the Super Bowl, the defensive unit carried Buddy off on their shoulders too. I mean, it's the first time I think I've ever seen two coaches, the head coach and the defensive coordinator, be carried off at the same time. So he was absolutely beloved by that. And you know, somebody asked the other day, one of the former players of the Bears, how come you only won one championship? And he said, Buddy left.
Yeah. You went on, of course, to be head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He is Coach Rick Jones. We get over the hump with him each Wednesday. At this time, he wrote the book Analog Advice in a Digital World. It is a baby boomer's words of wisdom for the millennial generation. 52 one-page chapter. You give it to your millennial. They get to read one chapter a week, get to meditate the wisdom contained therein, and then after a year, they've got all this great information, and they've read a book. And so we do that each week, too. We are on chapter 25. And this woman, Carolyn Jones, is quoted in the title. You know her?
Yeah, that was my mama.
She said,
very wise woman.
She said, if they thought like you, we would not be having this conversation. This was one of my mother's favorite sayings, especially when she was talking to my dad about my two brothers and me. The truth is, no one consistently thinks exactly like we do. Our collective differences are the ingredients that make great gumbo. It would be kind of boring if we all thought and acted the same way. Being right all the time has to be extremely tiring. Only an idiot says, I thought I was wrong once, but I was wrong. To be successful, you have to listen to the opinions of others, understand their positions, and empathize with them. You certainly don't have to agree, but you do need to respect their positions and the way they arrived at them. And who knows, you might even learn something. There's a reason God gave you two ears and two eyes and only one mouth. That's chapter 25 from Analog Advice in a Digital World. I've often said, Rick, that the three most powerful words that I have ever uttered in a sentence other than I love you is I was wrong.
You know, Glenn, I think this chapter may be, if I had to single out one in the whole book for millennials, this might be the one. Because I need, and I'm so hopeful that young people who tend to be very colorblind right now, but I want them to be able to at least appreciate where other people are coming from, and in many cases where other generations are coming from. You know, it's been a fascinating case study with this British exit vote. If you look at those that voted to leave, and right or wrong, it was a lot of people that felt like no one was looking out for their interest. In many cases, it was an elderly population that said, I'd like England to go back to being the England of my childhood. In many cases, it was blue-collar workers that said, hey, you know, our particular segment or section of the country is not benefiting from any kind of economic development through the EU. And it was very easy, I think, for what I consider to be the elitist to belittle those people. And I'm seeing a lot of that in our country right now, too. You know, on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the political spectrum, we need to have a little more empathy for each other. And I don't mean we have to agree, but we have got to develop some empathy. This is the nastiest presidential election maybe ever, and it's just getting started. And I really worry that it will carry over into some other parts of our society as we just scream at each other and we don't stop to consider the other person's position at all, on either side.
Well, we have two candidates for the Republicans and the Democrats, in their own way, will never admit to being wrong.
Yeah.
That's really dangerous.
That's very dangerous, you know, and I just, I don't know why people feel that that's a sense of weakness. When you and I think that's a real, you know, position of strength to say, I was wrong. I was, I think I told you this once before, but, you know, here, and it's pretty appropriate on my anniversary day, but my wife and I, we have a deal that when we're wrong, we have to not only say we're wrong, we have to say we're stinking wrong. I'm wrong, I was stinking wrong. And, you know, you laugh and move on because of that, because you admit the fact, hey, I was wrong. And I think we need to do that politically. I think we need to do that in business. I think we need to do that in education. At some point, the old Jimmy Buffett song, Manana, that, you know, the punchline goes, you might just turn out being wrong. I think everybody can learn from everybody else.
You know, one of the most famous, if not the most famous cases of somebody admitting they were wrong was God.
Yeah.
He finally figured it out that instead of being an outside God and trying to get people to do what he wanted them to do, he just come on inside. He went from an Old Testament, an old covenant, an old paradigm to a New Testament, a new paradigm. And a lot of people think, well, God was never, God changed it up. And the Bible says that God never changes, but that's not what it says in the original translation. The original language doesn't say God never changes. It says God never does anything the same way twice. That's true.
And so if we're made in God's image, you know, hopefully that we will learn from that too, and we can change. You know, wouldn't it be really refreshing in a debate to hear two things? One, to hear a candidate go, that's a great question, I have no idea. I'll get back to you. I would just go, wow, that's cool. Or somebody to say, yes, you're pointing out the fact that I did change my mind. And then now I'm going to ask you, the reporter, have you ever changed your mind in your life? You're 54 years old. Okay, you used to like chocolate ice cream, you now like vanilla. That's a change. It's okay to change. God, hopefully we grow. We learn. I'm a different human being at 62 than I was at 20, thank goodness. And so I hope young people will, you know, there's a lot of wisdom out there from older people. There's going to be a lot of wisdom from younger people. There's going to be a lot of wisdom from people of their own generation that differ with them. That's going to add to the gumbo, the fabric of our worldwide society right now. And I think we need, right now we've got big problems, and we really need to come together to solve these problems. But I still laugh about my mother saying, you know, honey, if they thought like you thought, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Exactly. It would really be a boring world if everybody thought the same. Well, speaking of wisdom, it's a baby boomer's words of wisdom for the millennial generation. Rick Jones's Analog and Advice in a Digital World. It's available at AdvantageFamily.com, at FishBaseMarketing.com. As always, a pleasure. And I can say this without fear of contradiction. I am not wrong. I'm not even stinking wrong about having you on this radio program every week.
Well, you're very kind to say that. It's really one of the highlights of my week. I really enjoy the time we spend together, and I hope your listeners like it too.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
Your Hump Day Hour of Power, where we acknowledge that this kind of knowledge is indeed power, follows WRJN covering the world.
Terrorist attack aftermath. I'm Chaz Henry. With yesterday's gunfire and bomb attack on the airport in Istanbul,